Okay, this is Michael O'Rourke for the Washington County Historical Society. Beginning an interview today with the Guyen? And we have with us today, I want to have each of you introduce yourself on the tape. Your name is?
Apolinar Guyen.
Okay, and?
Maria Inez Guyen.
Okay, and?
Renee Guyen.
Okay. Great. And I would like to ask both of you a little bit about what you did and where you came from before you were in Oregon.
Okay. Que quiero saber qué lo hicieron antes y dónde vienen antes que me llegaran aquí ahora.
Sí, nosotros venimos de Guadalajara en 1979 a Oregon.
They came from Guadalajara, Jalisco, in Mexico in 1979 here to Oregon.
Okay. And Inez, when were you born?
I born in Guadalajara in March 7, 51.
Okay. And you?
I'm born in Guadalajara too in May 25th, 52.
Okay. What did your family do in Guadalajara?
¿Qué hacía su familia usted?
So my father como hace cultivos y
farmer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Your family?
Mi familia, o sea, mi papá también farmer y luego hacíamos ladrillo.
Like a block for building house.
Sí, brick.
Sí,
Could you hold
sure.
A little bit. I think when we left off just before the phone call, you said your family was.
Yeah, farmer we did like a
brick laying for build houses.
No, they actually made brick.
And you made
brick makers.
Makers.
Okay.
And they sold the brick to bricklayers or construction companies that made buildings, but they actually supplied the bricks.
Yes. How did you two meet?
¿Cómo se conocieron ustedes?
We were neighbors.
Neighbors, though.
Yeah, we came from the same
neighborhood.
Okay. And did you both work on the farm as
de jóvenes nos desarrollábamos padres en la cosecha?
No, yo no. Only him.
Only him. Okay.
I just clean the house and cook. También tenía una tienda.
We also had like a store or a little small market.
For
my mom. Uh-huh. And she just worked at the family.
Before marriage.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Store.
And you sold vegetables and things.
They were doing this.
Milk, vegetables, beers. Sugar and everything. Groceries.
Did you both play music then too?
¿Eres sus hijos los dos, de jóvenes los dos tocaban música?
No, only him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Explique usted cómo aprendió.
Pues yo aprendí la música, o sea, por medio de un amigo mío, que me enseñó a tocar guitarra.
Solamente guitarra.
Y nada más fue lo que aprendí antes de
primero,
de casarme.
So when I was young, a friend of him showed him how to play the guitar. While he was young.
Uh-huh.
And so he initially all he knew is how to play the guitar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you said you came to Oregon in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how did you happen to come to Oregon? Well, first of all, it was, did you come directly from Guadalajara to here?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how did that happen?
¿Cómo pasó eso? ¿Cómo se vinieron de Guadalajara?
Ah, pues mi hermana me dijo que si tenía una hermana aquí, y ella me dijo, si quieres venir acá al trabajo.
Okay. My mom had a sister that was here in Oregon.
Uh-huh.
And when they talked to her, asked her if she wanted to come down, she loved to come to Oregon over here. There was a lot of work.
Uh-huh.
A lot of things you could work at here in the state of Oregon in this area.
Uh-huh. How did you travel to Oregon?
¿Cómo este?
Pues se pasó. ¿Cómo llegamos?
Podemos
decir todo, ¿no?
Sí.
So, ¿y qué nos dijo?
We got them.
1986. Okay. So when we came, we were illegals.
Okay. How did you cross the border?
Come from 47.
Well, walking and running. Walking and running.
Walking and running.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did you cross in Texas then?
No, we crossed from Tijuana.
Tijuana.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we take hands and run.
Yeah.
Did someone help you to cross the road?
Yes, somebody.
Yes.
Somebody just walk at the Jack in the Box at the border.
Uh-huh.
So then he came and caught Los Angeles.
So we picked him up at a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
In on the other side of the border, and then they drove him out to Los Angeles.
We get the ride to from San Isidro, California,
to Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And were there people on the Mexican side of the border that helped too?
Because I was in the Nueva Mexico.
Did you know these people or did you?
No, we never see anymore. Yeah.
Okay.
They said this one time.
Yeah.
Okay. And did you pay them something to help you as part of the trip?
Yep.
$300
Each person.
Each person.
Uh-huh.
And how did you actually cross the border? Was it at night?
In the morning.
Teníamos que cuidar que los, como estaban entrando los carros y acá, vamos saliendo otros entrando los carros y pues nosotros nos empezamos corriendo rápido.
All they did is, as the cars are going past by, as soon as the cars pass, they just walk right through the, That's how we did it.
Mm-hmm. So no problems?
No problem.
It's a big danger, but we made it. Yeah.
And you came because you thought you would have maybe a better life here? Is that
Yes. We tried better life.
And so you came first to Los Angeles. How long did you stay in Los Angeles?
Like 3 days.
Okay.
Until my sister and my brother-in-law go and pick it up us and thing.
Okay, so they drove to Los Angeles and picked you up. And so then you came to here to.
Hillsboro.
Yes.
Okay.
We were living around here.
And what was it like coming with no English?
That's hard because years ago, almost nobody speaks English at the stores, at the hospitals, at the doctors. We don't have no good service in Spanish, so. Almost nobody speaks. Uh-huh. Now it's better.
Uh-huh.
Now it's better. So we start to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Get to school.
To learn.
To learn English.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. And where did you learn English?
Here in Central.
Oh, in
Central.
Uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, we learned there. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. And what did you find better work here when you first came?
No, not better. Job, it's a hard job for, everybody, you know, except for me and my brother. We work together, my brother and me, but very, very hard job. I work in the field, in the field, mm-hmm. in the rain, in the snow, in the wind blow, in the everything.
No car, very hard to get transportation there.
Yep.
That's hard.
Uh-huh.
So long hours, long days?
Yeah, long days, and I don't have no car. Yes, in the right in the bus, and it's very, very hard time for us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very, very hard.
It sounds
yeah.
like it.
Uh-huh.
So how long did you do this?
I think like two years, hard years. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And after 2 years, I changed to another job. I work for the some Japanese people, like
landscaping.
That's much, much better my job.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
So you the landscaping work was better then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. who did you work for in the landscaping work?
Con el Kibia.
It was a Japanese.
Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And did you work in the landscaping business too?
No. I care my kids. So, I not work at the companies when I have kids. I care myself to them, and I help to them with the homework. How can I help him, them? But I try to help my husband. I babysit another kids. I make some. So long time ago, we don't have not much Mexican stores.
Uh-huh.
So I start to make like piñatas. You know what is piñata?
Uh-huh.
It's for kids' birthdays.
Yeah. The thing that hangs from the ceiling.
Yeah, when I say I know where I need to help my husband with the bills or rent or something. So I start to do piñatas, different kinds.
Uh-huh.
So people come and buy because they don't have no much store, Mexican store. So I make good money, no sucasta, no nothing. So I start to help to my husband to support
the house
food or something
mm-hmm.
with to make piñatas.
Make mm-hmm. a little extra money.
Extra money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I started working with my younger daughter's school.
Mm-hmm. And I forgot to ask you, did you have children when you crossed the border?
Yeah.
Oh, so.
And the Benny, she pregnant when we came.
I came pregnant with my younger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we crossed the border, she's a pregnant.
And I have. We came with three kids, but because years, ¿cómo se dice? Años más para atrás habían venido a California.
Many years before that, they had been to California, back in like 72.
Uh-huh.
And they were here for roughly 2 years in California.
Yeah, uh-huh. He's born in LA.
One of the child. one of the kids was born in California. And then went back to the States.
And that's la tercera niña ya.
And then they had their third child was born in Mexico.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they had, we had three young children that they had to cross.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
And were you, same time. Were you one of those?
Yeah, I was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I was,
how old were you then?
I was probably like 4 years old, but I was, you got to remember, I was an American citizen. I was born here in the States.
Okay, so you were born here.
But we still had to pass everybody together. Had three kids together.
The kid is not a problem. My sister, the other kids. And
my aunt just crossed us because her kids were born citizens of the country. And so she just passed us, my other brother and sister, as one of her own kids.
As her kids.
Yeah, as her own kids.
And, so she took them. Well, did you cross with your parents then?
No. We crossed with my
aunt
and my cousins.
Okay, I see. And so you came across at different times.
Yeah, different times. Yeah.
Okay, I see. But and so when the two of you crossed alone, except for the one in your belly.
Crossed just the two of themselves, not with two kids.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then met you in Los Angeles.
Yes.
You met them later.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Did you cross first or second?
The day before. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember this at all?
I don't remember.
Okay. Okay. And so, anyway, back to when you were working here, those first couple of years, and then you got the better job landscaping. How long did you work in the landscaping?
Three, 4 years.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then what did you do?
Cortar el zacate.
Landscaping.
Yeah.
I
was pruning and cleaning the houses, you know, and cut the grass.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so you were working on your own?
No.
Still with the job?
Well, sometimes, you know, after when I quit to that job, and I had a friends, like they know me when I worked with those people, and sometimes they call me to the Polo, can you come to clean my house? And I work for myself. Sometimes I took my family, my sons, and my
Saturday.
Yeah.
So we came with the kids and lady.
Yeah, but yes, some days, yeah, not.
No, usually sometimes. Mm,
uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes, sometimes.
Oh, pero dicen después de que trabajó en el queso, pero después de que salió pues el landscape, el queso después.
The landscape, because we said través de la noche.
Yeah.
Another noche, but better.
After he stopped working for landscaping, he went to another nursery in Iowa.
Uh-huh.
That was better.
Yeah.
But
better than the other one.
Yeah.
Better pay and better.
And better position, better. And
he had car and everything.
Better environment. Yeah. And he had by then he had a car, so it was easier for him to get around.
I was 5 years to work over there in that company.
Okay.
And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
They have to wait.
Okay. And actually, let me ask you about those first 2 years, the hard ones. Did you ever think that you made a mistake coming here? Or
no.
No.
I don't think. I think it's good the idea. What do you think? ¿Piensas que
es un error cuando estaban los años difíciles primero?
No, we are still... yo guardaba una esperanza que nuestra vida iba a cambiar.
They always had hope that things would get better in the future.
And I guess they did.
We do.
Well, tell me, and then you said you worked for 5 years or so for the second nursery, is that
right? The second nursery.
Okay.
But, you know what, in como 83, what, around 1983, we sometimes, because I sing, and my husband play a guitar, at the Centro Cultural, before has a little building. Not like now. There's a building, like a house. Inside, the Hernandez family invited to us at the carne asada, you know, like a barbecue.
A gathering. Mm-hmm.
And so, Mr. Guillen, can you play your guitar and both, can you sing for us? So we start singing both, and everybody is enjoying it. So, a sister from the church. So we don't have before we don't have
a choir in Spanish.
We don't have a coro en la iglesia, but now I have to say you have see. She said yes. I said who? You and your husband. I said no. I never play at the church, but you have to. You will start tomorrow to play at the church. And I say no. I am embarrassed. I never sing at the church, but this time you have to. But in front of the people, she say yes. So next day came in the morning at the house. We have to practice the song for the church, and we practice
at Central.
Before no, at my house.
At your house, okay.
No, before the Cora mass at the church. So my first time, I remember my first time in front of the many people at the church. Oh, my hands cold. So, but we do. So next Sunday, because before we have just 1 month, one mass, Spanish mass, just one, because no much people, no teníamos muchos hispanos.
Before, there was only one Spanish mass on Sundays because there wasn't very many Spanish-speaking people in the community.
Mm-hmm.
She's referring to now there's about 6 different masses in Spanish just on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
But before, it was just one every Sunday because there wasn't very many Spanish speakers.
So we start there. So later, kids start to... I told you before, kids start to learn guitar or something at a school. And later my husband say, my older decide to play a trumpet at the school, Humberto. And he start to play violin at the school. So my husband start to teach them another instrument like vihuela. And my older start with trumpet, but in home. So later said, you have to start to play at the church with us. So we start to play the four people at the mass every Sunday.
Okay. And so it was like guitar, trumpet, and what was the third instrument?
Violin.
Violin, okay.
And guitar
bass,
on
bass.
My dad,
yeah,
and you play the bass.
Bass. So he started with the bass, like ukulele, guitar, and vihuela and trumpet.
Okay.
So I start to, I guess, was sing with them, but I don't play any.
And you sang as a kid too in Mexico.
Usted cantaba como de niño también.
In church or
No, at church, but in like a birthday party or something.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you knew a lot of Mexican songs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So after that, todos los hispanos que vivían aquí nos conocían por la misa. And all the Spanish.
All the Hispanic people of the community knew us through the church that we had a musical group come going in the family.
Uh-huh. So they started to ask me, can your family come and play with my son's birthday or my daughter's wedding or something like that? So they start to play and get some money, start to get money.
Uh-huh. So you wanted to play professionally.
Later, the restaurants came and said, oh, I'm calling for the Mexican restaurant, da-da-da. Can you play with my... Your husband can play in my restaurant for 1 hour or 2 hours.
Uh-huh. And so you did that, too?
Yeah. No, I'm not singing at the restaurant. I just at the church. I go with them to the church.
Oh, but you didn't sing at the restaurant.
No.
But did the band go to the restaurant or no?
Yeah, the band.
Yeah, so they start to get busy.
Uh-huh.
So later my husband decided to work, yes, for the mariachi.
Okay.
No more nurserias.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And when was that?
Cuando estuvo de...
Cuando, como
like 10 years ago.
85 or 86.
Uh-huh.
Más es like 86.
Por ahí como
86,
¿no?
Yeah, maybe more like 10, 15 years ago.
No, por ahí. Uh-huh.
But you performed only in the church then?
Usted nomás cantaba nomás en la iglesia.
So, were you just three then when you played outside the church? Just three members?
Three.
Okay. Initial three members, but then we met some people that were also ex-mariachi players in Mexico. We met them here, either in Hillsboro or in Woodburn. When we started going out to restaurants, we started meeting people that were musicians. So then we integrated more band members into our band.
Okay. And how big is the band now?
Currently it's seven people.
Seven people.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But we started off at three and then slowly started integrating more musicians as time went by.
Uh-huh.
And so now it's...
And are you still a member of the band too?
Well, I can sound sometimes when we make about parties here, but not out of the house.
But not okay. But at the church still?
At the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Church.
And what's the name of your band?
Mariachi
Jalisco.
Okay.
Tienen una aquí. This is the business card.
Oh, okay, great. And did you have a name in the very beginning too? Is this what you called yourself?
Es lo que nos vamos a empezar, ¿eh? That's what that's saying, yeah.
Because we came from Jalisco.
That's the state. Jalisco is the state where we're from. Right. That's the state where mariachi is from.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. The style of music is mariachi.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's from.
And so you still play often?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Uh-huh.
Todavía toca. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what kinds of places do you play at?
They pretty much play it everywhere, from birthday parties to masses, weddings. Baptisms, restaurants, openings, festivals,
funerals.
Uh-huh. They pretty much play at anything. Yeah. There's, you know,
meets
requirements for music. I mean, you name it. I mean, they played at the waterfront. They played at grand openings for different restaurants locally and outside of Oregon.
Hotels.
They played at hotels, at meetings. They played at... pretty much all types of occasions that, you know, require a little bit of music.
Yeah, one time we play for the Atia.
One time they even played for the governor at a convention.
Uh-huh. Governor Atia.
Yeah, governor Atia back
for the immigration in Portland. And
the
Mexican...
Amnistía, cuando se llama la amnistía, ¿cómo se dice también? ¿Eh?
Sí.
O también, when they celebrate Independence Day and the Consulado Mexicano,
¿cómo Mexican Consul.
So, yeah, they played there too before
they
Independence Day. They play the Centro a lot for the Cinco de Mayo and these 6 de Septiembre festivals that they have in Centro Cultural.
Yes.
Yeah, so they pretty much play everywhere.
And originally it sounds like maybe your reputation spread by word of mouth. The restaurant started calling you.
Is that correct? Right? Yeah, originally it spread through word of mouth because people who knew us, people would recommend us to their friends, so on and so forth. We really, at first, when we first got started, when it was just three of us, we didn't have any business cards. It was just word of mouth, you know, invite these guys, they have a band, invite them over, you know, to play for a little while. And then as the band started getting bigger, then he decided to make it into a business, a mariachi.
Right.
And then we started creating more musicians, and then we became the first mariachi in Oregon established here.
And when you first started out with just a three or four person band, did you have a manager per se? Did you actually were one of you actually trying to get jobs?
Yeah. Well, my father was the head of the band, and he actually worked as manager after we kind of saw it was something that could be made into a business because the demand was so great. He actually went ahead and, you know, got business cards and just started getting our phone number to other people and to other places.
Mm-hmm.
And so he served as a manager and in time became the owner of the band, now runs the band.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you play mostly for Hispanic?
Mostly for Hispanic.
For Spanish people.
Pero también,
también para American people too.
And you play you mentioned festivals as well as all of these private parties, etc.
That's right, yeah. And but mostly I say it's very traditional to have mariachi during Mexican weddings or baptisms or quinceañeras. Very traditional, you know what quinceañera is, right? Mm-hmm. When the girl has it's kind of like a sweet 15.
Okay.
When young girls come into the adult,
make a big party.
They make a big party. Uh-huh. And so they have almost like as elegant as a wedding. They have stand-up people. They have, all these different, it's like a big celebration. So it's very traditional to have mariachi play at the mass, play at the reception, and do special birthday songs. Same for the wedding, you have a special wedding, then you have mariachi for the wedding, then you have them play at the reception.
And it's play for the parade too?
Before the July was playing before the happy days.
Okay. Now, when you started getting serious about the band, how did you decide what music would be part of your repertoire?
Cuando se empezó a ser más
famoso
el pareto, ¿cómo decidió cuáles canciones iban a ser las del repertorio?
Well, we have a popular music, the American people know, but we have on the repertory every
¿Cómo decide cuál?
Sí.
¿Cómo decide cuál?
Sí.
Déjame decirle.
Sí.
Por bueno, yo te lo voy a dar en español. Por ejemplo, si vamos a poner un acomodar una misa, yo leo el evangelio o las lecturas y sé qué cantos voy a acomodar con esta misa. Si el repertorio es según si es cumpleaños, se toca las mañanitas. Eso es lo que quieres saber, ¿verdad?
Sí.
Si es una, y si es una boda, toca la marcha nupcial o cosas así. A ver, dile.
He says it's the same. It really depends on the occasion. Depends on the occasion. If it's a birthday party, then you have a certain list of popular birthday songs. If it's for a mass, then you have a certain list of popular mass songs. If it's for a private party, then you have a certain song for a certain type of dance music. And if it's for people who don't know very much about Mexican music, then there's a
special repertoire
for more popular songs that Americans are more familiar with.
Okay.
So it really depends on the occasion, but there is a popular list that they kind of go by, depending on what the occasion is.
Mm-hmm. And do other... I assume that both of you knew lots of songs from Mexico. Did other band members bring in new songs or new material?
Sí, because él está diciendo que él se imagina que ustedes hacen muchas de las canciones cuando estaban en México, pero que sí, cuando después que llegaron más músicos, ellos también empezaron a traer más nuevas canciones. Sí,
uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Y compran CDs más nuevos y vuelven a aprender más.
Sí. It says that in Mexico what they do is sometimes songs become popular in Mexico, so then what you do is you buy the music and then you learn the songs and
you practice
them and you bring them into the culture in here.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what you did too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you did too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How often do you perform?
Oh, like every week we play
weekend.
Every weekend,
uh-huh.
Like a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Uh huh.
Uh huh.
You have jobs to play.
Sometimes in the week, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like week.
And does the band get together to practice and work up new songs?
¿Se ponen a estudiar cada tantos días para sacar canciones nuevas?
Tercer día.
Yeah, they use cada tres
días.
They use about three days a week. Practice about 3 days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for about 2 hours.
I think I maybe heard some mariachi music the other day when I called you on the phone.
Yeah, they practice.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Let me back up just a little bit here. When you first came to Washington County, was your illegal status ever a problem for you?
Que cuando recién llegaron a Washington County, porque eran ilegales, no fue problema para
No have any problem with
No problem.
Not with the school, with the kids, not.
Find a job. It wasn't a problem then.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And then how did you get your green card status?
¿Cómo agarraron su green card status?
Cuando dieron la amnistía en 86.
In 86 there was an amnesty.
Uh-huh.
In which they offered a to permanent residency or temporary residency for illegal aliens that were here in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so they applied for it and everybody qualified
for that.
And so
we qualified for, we were in the fields and
can you tell me you mentioned that you started to learn English at Central.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Can you tell me what Central was like in those days, and did Central help you in other ways too?
Okay, ¿cómo era Central en esos tiempos y en qué otra manera se ayudaba el Centro aparte del inglés?
A veces nos daban comida también cuando recién llegamos.
And they help us to when you need some paper to fill on any form or any application, we we work with a Centro Cultural, and they help us to to fill the.
What they would do is they also offered services for questions.
Questions, yeah.
Fill out applications.
Uh-huh.
It's like
they provided a.
When we need something to know us for a long time, when I get the amnesty. Cuando logramos la amnistía, necesitamos una carta que alguien nos conocía de tiempo, que seamos buenas recomendaciones. Ellos nos dieron una carta.
Él está preguntando qué cosas hacían en el centro.
Nosotros llegamos, aunque estaba la casita chiquita de ellos, ellos proveían comidas a familias necesitadas y ropa si necesitaban.
Centro will also help with people who had low income with they donated food, they find clothes and donate to other families, needy families. They'd help them with translating applications, translating letters. They helped. They'd offer classes. It was pretty much a kind of a resource center for non-English speaking Hispanics, and it was just a resource center for pretty much help for a little bit of anything. They had people who worked there full time. Mm-hmm. Who pretty much helped in any way they could.
Well, it sounds like you've definitely been very well received as musicians. But I'm wondering if your family experienced any kind of problems fitting into the English-speaking society. Did any prejudice or any problems that you might have had?
¿Que usted nunca tuvieron un problema cuando estaban aquí con otros americanos porque no hablaban inglés o porque sentían diferentes?
Bueno, teníamos por ejemplo con el vecino al otro lado, que siempre hemos vivido aquí, como ella no nos quería porque éramos hispanos. Y cuando nos fue conociendo, una vez le dijo al rentero que no nos rente porque éramos hispanos, pero después, como nos fue conociendo que no éramos maleantes, pues se fue a platicando con nosotros, pero a los dos o tres años no nos quiso.
She said that at first, when they first moved in here, they had a neighbor who was very weary about having, you know, foreigners moving into the neighborhood. And so she kind of encouraged the first person who originally rented the house to us not to rent, you know, to foreigners. But then as years went by and they got to know each other better, then everything got a lot better as far as terms. But really it was just problems with the neighbor at first, but not being familiar with other cultures, and so on and so forth.
Yes, the lady, the man, he's nice.
But only the lady,
only the lady.
So one time the lady came and said, "So I'm sorry because before you know you guys, I feel kissed.
You bad people,
something that." Now I know that you are good people, and say sorry.
So she learned something from you.
Yeah.
Yes. That's great. And no other problems, really?
No.
And what was it like for you growing up here in a bicultural environment?
Biculture. It was difficult at first because we really didn't learn language. You know, we were young, and our first language was Spanish. So it was somewhat difficult for us to make transition from speaking only Spanish to trying to learn how to read and, you know, communicate with other kids in English. But luckily, the Cornelius system was really good. They actually had English as second language instructors that would help the students individually one-on-one so that they could learn English a lot faster and eventually, you know, become part of the class and, you know, eventually, you know, take on reading assignments as a normal fifth, sixth, or third grader would. So they helped. The school was very helpful at getting the transition from non-speakers to becoming more familiar with the language and eventually becoming full English-speaking students.
And so you made that transition a little difficult.
A little bit different, but most kids were accepted, you know, you for for being who you are, and not because, you know, it's English, you know. They were good about, you know, sharing and, you know, just being kids. Kids weren't really, you know, acting different towards you because they didn't speak English. I think, you know, children play, and playing is a universal language, and so you really don't care, you know, what you speak or what's different about you.
Yeah.
So, so it wasn't. It wasn't very difficult.
It wasn't too hard.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. When you grew up here, did you mostly hang out with other Hispanic kids?
Yeah, mostly with other Hispanic kids. Mostly our cousins. But then we got we started, you know, friendships with.
So you played mostly with your cousins.
Mostly with my cousins, but then as we began to interact more with neighbors' kids, then we became more open, and we lost, you know, we gained more confidence because we also spoke a little bit more English, and so gradually we just became more familiar with the neighbors, and we eventually became friends with the neighbors' kids, even though, you know, we didn't speak English completely, you know, we didn't understand us as well, but it was transition wasn't very, very difficult.
And what was it like for you when you first joined your parents' band?
It was kind of difficult at first because we had never really, you know, gone up on stage. When you're a kid, you know, you don't really, you find it hard to go up on a stage or in front of a lot of people and, you know, sing. But because our parents, you know, we had seen our parents sing and play, then it wasn't as difficult for us.
Uh-huh.
To get in, and plus the church was something that we always, my parents had us educated about, you know, going to mass and, you know, reading, you know, the gospel and learning about God. So some of the songs that talked about, you know, the church wasn't as difficult because it was something that we were so used to. We were so used to going to church every Sunday and, you know, singing along with the choir, even when we weren't in the choir.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it wasn't that hard because we already knew a lot of the songs,
uh-huh.
You know, the songs that they sung at church.
Uh-huh.
So it was difficult, but I think getting into the mariachi and actually performing like in front of people that you didn't know, like people that weren't from church, then that was a lot more difficult.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was difficult. Yeah. It was difficult
a little tougher,
yeah, exactly.
But you got used to it.
Yeah, definitely got used to it. Definitely after a year or two, then you definitely get used to it, and then it wasn't a big deal. But sometimes, I mean, it was difficult. I mean, sometimes you're singing in Spanish and people are speaking English, and you don't really know whether you're really, you know, getting to the people or if they're understanding what you're saying. But it was difficult at first, but I think as time went by, you kind of got used to, you know, the whole ordeal of performing on stage or in front of lots of people that you didn't know, and so
yeah.
It just became easier.
How old were you when you first
started? I was 10 years old when I first started playing musical instruments.
Okay, and on stage then, or was that a little later?
That was probably about a year later. Okay. I began, you know, at the church for about a year.
Okay.
Playing, and then eventually we joined my dad's, we made a band, and then we started playing, you know, outside the church.
Yeah. And do you do music at all in school, or did you?
I did school. I played violin when I was in sixth grade till my senior year in high school. And then I played guitar in my dad's band.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also had another type of, like a kind of a more modern type band with some of our high school friends.
Uh-huh.
So we were kind of really, really involved with music.
Oh, yeah. And what was that, more modern band?
Yeah, it was more like a dance band.
Okay.
That they used, like Mexican dance band that
okay.
played like more Latin rhythms, more kind of mixed with like Latin and kind of cumbia and a little bit like a
rock kind of stuff like that, whereas mariachi is more traditional folk music.
Yeah.
So it was different, but it was more appropriate for youth once we started getting into our teenage years. It was something more that we related to at that point.
Sure. The mariachi band is all acoustic.
Mariachi band is an all acoustic. It's it's composed of trumpets, violins, a bass guitar, which is a guitarrón, mm-hmm. and then a tenor guitar, which is a vihuela, and then you have a guitar, and it's all acoustic. Usually, no microphones, no sound system, nothing like that. It's all. It's all wind music is what it is.
Okay.
So, and it's really traditional. So that's kind of what separates it from the more modern type of music.
And when you say bass, it's the stand-up bass that...
No, it's actually, it's a bass.
It's a huge guitar.
It's a huge guitar. Yeah. It's got a humpback.
Right.
And it's a double string bass. You play it two strings at a time.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, and it's got a very deep... noise with a lot of vibration that it makes.
Okay.
Very, very, very unique and distinct sound.
Do you enjoy playing in the band now?
I don't anymore because I've been in college for the last couple of years.
Okay.
But I certainly enjoy listening to music now, and sometimes I do wish I was still playing in the band. Occasionally I do at private parties or, at our birthday parties and so on and so forth. But I haven't done it for the last couple of years.
Uh-huh.
However, my brother, who was also in the band with me when he first started, now has his own band. He separated from my dad after he got married and had his own family, and he made his own band after learning how to play the basics from my dad's band. He then went on his own and formed his own mariachi band.
Okay, so what's the name of that band?
His mariachi is called Mariachi Viva Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yep. So it's kind of traditional, it's a tradition where now it becomes part of the family now. And now even his youngest son, at a young age, sings mariachi and has been learning how to play instruments.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the third generation of mariachi in our family.
Uh-huh. Okay. Great. Well, I'm starting to run out of questions here. Is there anything about your music or your band that any of you would like to say?
Hay algo más que alguien quiere decir algo
del mariachi. Or your whole life, rather.
De las vidas, de sus vidas, algo que quiero decir.
Recuerdo, te dejo la palabra.
Si usted diga, va a ver a quién es el papá del mariachi de la misa o...
No, pues lo único que le puedo decir que el mariachi Jalisco vino naciendo de la iglesia San Alejandro, yeah. De ahí, grown up, la mariachi Jalisco.
Mariachi Jalisco originally came out of the St. Alexander's Spanish
sure.
choir. That's originally how it formed. We were a choir first doing Spanish masses, and it eventually turned into a friendly get-together band, and then we eventually turned into a professional band, and now it's been here for about 15 years.
Do you play sometimes outside of the area here?
¿Usted toca a veces toca fuera de aquí de esta área?
Sí.
He estado tocando en el estado de Alaska.
Uh-huh. They've been up to Alaska. They've been down
for 3 times.
Uh-huh. They've been Alaska.
We were in Alaska for 3 times in the parte de California.
California.
Uh-huh. Crossed. In the border to the Oregon and California, I have a couple customers over there in the Washington, Seattle, Tacoma, and east side to west side, and and anywhere.
Do you ever go back to Mexico?
To live there forever? No.
No, but do you visit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we
go at Christmas.
Christmas.
Christmas
and,
time.
Met on that year too. And sometimes we visited to Mexico like two, three times a year.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you look for new recordings while you're down there?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
Some of the instrument from there, because they didn't find here that instrument from the mariachi. Well, only trumpet or violin, but like a vihuela, guitarra, or guitarrón, that's very they buy in Guadalajara and bring it to Oregon.
I guess you've seen the Hispanic community grow quite a bit here in the area. You mentioned that there were no stores when you first came.
Yes.
So yeah.
That must be really a big difference between now and
so now it's better.
Hey, yeah. ¿Qué piensa usted de eso de que ahorita que cuando primero estábamos aquí no había muchas cosas mexicanas, mucha gente mexicana, que ahorita que estamos ya ahorita la comunidad hispana que ha sido?
It's better now because we usually, I don't know if you eat tamales. Tamales is a Mexican food.
Right.
So it's hard to find the corn leaves.
Leaves.
Oh, yeah, right, the husks.
And the mazarina, chili. So sometimes I had, we was living in Hillsborough. I had to go to the little store aquí at Ochoa at Cornelius. Street, they have the corn leaves, the masa for the tamales. So I had to came to buy here in chiles. So it's not easy to find the Mexican product. So now it's easy. So Hanes, Harris, Albertson, Safeway.
That's
easy now.
We can eat now whatever you like.
Tortillas, Mexican
candies. Yeah, very hard time, long time ago, you know, like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, 22 years. Yeah.
Do you think for people who still work in the fields that things are better now than they were when you first came and worked
in the la gente que trabaja en los fieles, comparado como cuando hace 20 años cuando nosotros trabajamos en los fieles, ¿sabes que las cosas están mejores ahorita?
No. It's the same. The field never changed.
No, but you know, when it came from, when they start to pick it up berries, many fields, many berries, so easy to make money.
Mm-hmm.
At the field, but now, ahorita ya no, porque casi no hay files y los poquitos no dan mucho cultivo.
She says it was a lot different 20 years ago than it is now to work in the fields because there's less farms now, and it seems like the crops aren't as good as they used to be before, and it's really very hard to make money.
Yeah.
Había muchos pepinos para pescar, fresas.
Now than it was, you know, 20 years ago. Because there were more farms and better crops 20 years ago.
And
what when had my kids little ones, I form the folkloric dance for kids.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they play at the Centro Cultural, at the church. They dance.
My mother, while we were youngsters too, she formed a dance group, a Mexican dance group.
For kids
that would perform at different events, high schools, Centro Cultural, parades,
church.
Mm-hmm. And it was something kind of volunteer just to get kids, into their culture, get them to learn how to dance, not to forget, their culture and it's something that would keep them busy and active while kids were growing up. It's something that she did for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Sí, pues, lo dejé hace como unos 5 o 6 años. So I started again with my kids. So now they dance like
for grandkids.
Grandkids.
Yeah. So now she's
start to dance.
And when you did that originally for a couple of years, did someone else take it over then? When you
después de que usted dejó alguien más
no, como señor, encargó sí, ya. Agarré a María, se quedó con todos. Yeah. Another friend.
One of our friends, Maria, she took over the group of kids. And now they still continue to dance.
So now I start to teach my grandkids. So when they Centro Cultural has some celebration, I take my kids and they dance.
That's
great. We prepare the celebration for El Día del Niño. It's April in Mexico. It's April 30, the day for the kids. Special day.
April 30 is Kids Day in Mexico.
So now we will celebrate at the Centro Cultural by April 28, Saturday. So I have to prepare to my grandkids to dance there. Yeah.
Sabino Sardinetta told me about that celebration on the 28th.
Yeah.
And I may try to come out
and try to be
there. So. Well, I want to thank you all for taking the time today to talk
welcome.
To me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming. Yeah.